I've been raising the question over the past few weeks, what kind of advice do you give your children or your grandchildren, or really anyone in life? Do we give people advice that makes their relationship better to God? I think it's great to talk with others and our children about the physical things of this life, ask them what is going on at school or at work. I try to do that with my kids, ask them about their health, their clothes, their car, things, their work, things that are going on at work. Those make good conversation pieces. But there are times, friends, when we need to be passing on really important and clear spiritual advice so that the next generation can be helped to have a right relationship with God. And over the past few weeks, I've been looking at some paternal appeals in the book of Proverbs, where a father says to a son, I want you to hear these words of spiritual advice so that you'll have a right relationship with God. And I hope that this series has been helpful. We want to look at two more of these sections in the Proverbs. We've looked at six of them already, and I want to look at two more this morning. Thank you for being on the program. And we want to begin with Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. Let's look at two more paternal appeals. And today, the appeals deal with two subjects. One is the heart, the importance of a right heart, because out of that heart comes all of the actions in life. And then number two, the paternal appeal against sexual immorality. And that is in chapter 5, 1 and following. And we're going to look at the whole chapter. That is an appeal. That is some advice that is so critical today in our sex-filled and sex-charged society, where much that is portrayed in the media and other places is somehow connected to sexual immorality. And so we'll look at that. But in chapter 4 of Proverbs, beginning in verse 20, let's look at the parental appeal of a father to a son to make sure that your heart is right. And this is great advice for today. You know, we talk to our kids about their health, which is good. And when we were going through the pandemic, there was a great emphasis on physical health, and that was important. That's fine. And we need to continue to do that. We need to stay healthy. But we need to also be thinking about our spiritual health, and that comes from our heart. And our heart has to be right. It's talking about our mind, of course, our thinking, the spiritual side of us. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Let's just stop right there. These words of wisdom, this is God's word, of course, and not just the words that we've been reading over the past few weeks, but all of the Proverbs from chapter 1 and verse 1, every verse, all of these messages and bits of wisdom that come from God's wisdom. The Father says here that if you keep them within your heart, they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. There is spiritual life and healing here. Yes, we need physical healing from COVID and other kinds of things, but we need to be healed from sin. And the words of God in our heart will help us to do that. And that's why it's so important. I was just talking with someone today at a particular business, and I just asked them, do you go to church anywhere? And they said that they did, and they were trying to get their kids in Bible class and that type of thing. And I commended them for that, because a lot of times parents are not interested at all for themselves or their children in spiritual things. And then we wonder why there is such a problem in society. I saw a news story just the other day a little 4-year-old boy. He didn't have any clothes on, just his underwear. He's out on the street corner, 4-year-old little boy, cussing at police officers, kicking them, punching them, saying bad words that I cannot repeat over the air. And it was just terrible. 4-year-old little boy has already been trained by his mom and dad, and usually the dad's not even around, what parent they have left, to cuss, to disrespect authority, to be talking like that. It's just terrible. And he's not even in school yet. And then we wonder why that little boy grows up to be a terrible person. And we see this all over society. It starts in the home, and it starts with a lack of parenting, a lack of biblical principles. And the solution is to get moms and dads back on track with God and His Word. And I am serious about that. And we need to be preaching that from the rooftops. We are trying to solve things in society, but we're going about it the wrong way. And the right way is to target our attention in the home. And one reason why people won't do that is we do not want to go to the heart of the problem, and that is moms and dads who are not right with God, bringing children into the world who are not going to be right with God. And we don't want to get to the heart of the problem, and that is the home and family. We talk about everything but that. We talk about how we need more government programs, and we need better schooling, and we need child daycare, and we need this, and we need that. No, we have what we need, and that is a home. We need to get a proper marriage and a proper home and a proper parent, and then you're going to see a turnaround in society. But there has been a breakdown in the marriage and the home for decades. And we're reaping the fruit of that. We're reaping the whirlwind of that today. And the devil gets you to shift blame away from the real problem. He started that back in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. Adam said, well, the woman that you gave me, she made me do it. And the woman said, well, the devil made me do it. And that tactic, the devil has been successful with that from the very beginning. Shift blame away from the real problem. And the real problem is parents. It's not guns. It's not other things. It's not a lack of, it's not bad education. It's parents. And we've got to get back to that and wake up to that and get on board with that and fix it. And so here you have a parent in Proverbs 4 and these other passages that we've been looking at, raising that son on the right advice. And we've got to get that back in our life. And then in Proverbs 4 and verse 22, they are life. And then verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet and then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. So the proper spiritual direction in life, and it starts with keeping your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Yes, talk with your kids about their outward physical bodies, and girls especially are being pressured in society with regard to their looks. You have to look a certain way. You have to have a physical look. You have to have a certain weight. You have to show parts of your body. You have to expose yourself. Pressure on girls especially is great with regard to the physical looks. And we need to be talking to our boys and girls about their hearts and the spiritual direction that they are headed in life, and not turning their foot toward evil, but walking in the right way. And so we've got it all turned around in society, where much of the society is focused on the physical rather than the inward heart. And notice in verse 24, put away crooked speech, how you talk. verse 25, what you look at, verse 26 and 27, where you go. These are things that we need to be talking to our children about. And you've got this four-year-old little boy just cussing like a sailor, and it's a shame. So, and the shame is his parents. You know, that little boy at that age, they don't know any better. They are being taught that by their parents and their environment. They're being taught that. They weren't born that way. And notice how quickly it is for a little boy or girl to go astray. Notice how quickly. It doesn't take long. And it's the parents' fault. So we need to get back. We can do better, parents and grandparents. We can do better. And we can be giving better advice to our children. And we need to speak up. And we need to tell our young people, just put the phone down for a little bit. I want to talk to you about some things. And you know, deep down inside, they really want that. They're really crying out for that, and they want that. Put your phone down, and let's talk for a little bit. And then, in chapter 5, there's quite a bit said here from a father to a son with regard to sexual immorality. And oh, how that needs to be discussed today. By the way, these passages deal with a father speaking to a son. I saw a statistic where it's as high as 18-20% of young people today do not have a father in their life. 18-20%, that's a lot. 1/5 of our young people do not have fathers. That's a shame. And notice that it's the father giving this advice. There's nothing wrong for a mother to be doing it as well, but the father's got to be in the home. That's one of our biggest problems. And what fathers are still in the home, they are godless and ungodly. So that causes a problem. But in chapter 5, 1 and following, the next bit of advice that is given here deals with sexual immorality. And that needs to be discussed today. What's discussed today is just have any kind of sex life you want. It's the opposite of what the biblical narrative is, and that is a sexual relationship within a God-ordained marriage. And we're going to get to that when we get to verse 15. It's not just about what to stay away from, verses 1 through 14, but the proper relationship to have, verses 15 and following. So don't just tell our kids, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, but tell our kids, this is where the sexual relationship can be fulfilled in a godly marriage and home. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a physically and spiritually fulfilling thing. It's not something to be covered up and hidden and not talked about. It's something to be fulfilled in a God-ordained marriage. And so, first of all, the advice to stay away from sexual immorality, any sexual relationship outside of a God-ordained marriage. And then number 2, keep it within a God-ordained marriage and fulfilled there, and you won't have to turn somewhere else to get it. So let's look at that. Proverbs 5, verse 1, my son, be attentive to my wisdom and incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. And then he's going to give a particular set of wise words here, and that is concerning sex. And we're in a society where in music and movies and everywhere else, sex is promoted so much that many people do not know up from down on this topic. And it went decades ago, it went from fornication, sexual immorality, adultery, any kind of a sex act outside of marriage, to sex acts that involve homosexuality. And now we've changed it to, you don't even know if you're a boy or a girl or a man or a woman. And people have gone all over the map on that, and they are leaving what God's word says about that. So we've got to get back to a proper sexual understanding. Well, what is that? Well, verse 3, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So he starts by talking about how that sexual relationships get started when a person is a smooth talker. You know, their words are like oil and honey. And that's the way it is portrayed today. It's fun. It's enjoyable. I'm talking about sex outside of marriage. Immorality. It's fun. It's enjoyable. It's popular. It's cool. It's a right. It's something that you should be doing. Don't worry about what your parents say or other people. And so notice number one, it's going to be portrayed to you as someone who is a smooth talking person like words of honey. That sucks you in and gets you in. But in the end, it's sharp as a two-edged sword. It bites. It cuts. It's a problem. Sometimes there's sexual diseases that are contracted with sex outside of marriage. AIDS, gonorrhea, chlamydia, other kinds of sexual diseases. Then there is sometimes other physical problems. Sometimes a person gets enraged and they come after you and they want to hurt you or kill you for having sex with their friend or whatever. It can cause that. It can cause financial problems, emotional problems. So it's like a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death and her steps follow the path of Sheol or the grave. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander and she does not know it. It's going to take you down a bad path. Yes, it's going to feel good on the front end, but it's going to have problems thereafter. And sometimes it's unwanted pregnancies. And then we have this whole, well, just abort the baby thing to cover the whole thing up. Or I don't want to deal with the responsibility of raising a child. And so you've got Planned Parenthood and you've got all these vocal pro-choice, pro-death is really what it is, advocates in order to cover up my sexual sin. And here's a baby now. Well, let's just kill the baby. You've got one sin compounding upon other sins. So stay away from her, the father says. And we need to be talking to our children about that. Verse 7, and now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and in the end your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. Notice the next thing that he talks about is that when you go have a sexual relationship with somebody, you're giving away your dignity and your honor. That was to be reserved for a godly mate, and you've just cheapened yourself. You're using yourself like a cheap object to be used. Don't give away your honor and then your strength and what you've worked for, not just your reputation and your physical body. There are many people who have been destroyed physically and mentally because of sex outside of marriage. And it's just not worth it. And you've got to say no to that in a society where it is promoted and propagated everywhere. It just is going to bring you down. And it says you're going to groan and your flesh and body are going to be consumed. And especially, ladies, you end up pregnant, and then the societal pressure is put on you to kill that baby. And there are many, many women who have had abortions who regret that later. They have that postpartum depression, and they wished somebody would have stopped them. Nobody likes to talk about that today, but it goes on. Stay away from that. It would be better to put that young, innocent baby up for adoption than to kill it. And even better than that, you fulfill your responsibility, and you man up, and you take care of that child. But the father says, stay away. Verse 12, you've started to groan, your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. Now you're saying, oh, I wish I would have listened to what my father was telling me. I wish I would have listened to this advice, but I ignored it. Verse 13, I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. So we need to talk with our children and our grandchildren about the proper way in which sex, the sexual relationship, which is a good thing that God made from the very beginning with Adam and Eve, told them to be fruitful and multiply, that is that sexual union, the biology of it, the physical nature of it, it's all a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not a nasty thing to talk about. When it's outside of marriage, it's a sinful thing. When it's within marriage, it's a very good thing. And that's what we're going to get at in just a minute with verse 15. But I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. There are people out there that just don't want to listen to sound biblical advice. Preacher, you can't tell me how to live my life. Mom and Dad, you can't tell me how to live my life, and so forth. And you've got that attitude going on. Okay, God gives you your free will. You can go do what you want, but you're going to reap the consequences. You cannot avoid the consequences of not listening to God's word. It's like gravity. It's a natural law. Spiritual laws are like natural laws. They will be upheld. You cannot break them with impunity. There will be consequences. And so you will have a problem one way or the other. So it's best just to listen. Now, where is the sexual relationship to be fulfilled, and that is in a godly marriage? And so when we're talking to our young people about this subject, it's not just a matter of stay away from this, stay away from this, stay away from this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. It's also about this is the proper place it's to be, and it's in marriage. And then, so the father here, and by the way, if this is Solomon, he certainly would know this from personal experience, the sexual relationship with multiple women and the problems that that causes. He would certainly know that himself. We're told that he was with multiple women in 1 Kings 11. So he would certainly be speaking from personal experience here in addition to revealing God's word. But in verse 15, he's going to use language now of what is to be the sexual relationship in marriage. Drink waters from your own cistern, flowing waters from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. So we're clearly talking about a husband-wife relationship, and let that be the place where the sexual intimacy and fulfillment is taking place. That's where it is. And let that be where you are ravaged with that physical and emotional love. Notice in verse 19, be intoxicated always in her love. If you're fulfilled there, you're not looking for it elsewhere. And this is very important advice to those who are married. If you're listening to me, this situation that we hear about a lot where the guy at work is looking at a fellow co-worker, a woman, and they get together on the side, or the woman is looking at a man and they get together on the side, something is wrong at home. There's a communication problem at home. There's a sexual intimacy problem at home. There is something going on, financial problems, stress, etc., and things are not right at home, and so you go looking for it elsewhere. And we don't talk about that a whole lot. We just talk about, well, you know, people commit adultery. What can you do? Well, they don't need to be doing that. But they also don't need to have a problem at home often that is causing that, the root problem. And so in these verses, the father is telling the son, not only stay away from sex outside of marriage, but with when you marry, fulfill it gratefully there and fulfill, be completely fulfilled there, and you won't be looking for it elsewhere. Verse 20, why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? So if you will be intoxicated at home, fulfilled at home, there's no reason to go looking for that elsewhere. For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. God sees what we are doing. And society can tell you to go do this, and it's no big deal. They revel in it. They promote it and propagate it. But God sees it, and it's wrong. We've got to focus on what God sees, not what our friends are promoting and poking us to go do. And you go to the bar scene, and it's encouraged there. It's encouraged in social media. It's encouraged with people talking online. And people don't even think anymore, what does God say about this? What does he see in us? And that brings us to the next verse. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. It's sin. It's iniquity. And we've got to get back to calling it what it is. And so stay away from sexual sin. Keep that within a God-ordained marriage. And then last of all, the last verse, verse 23, he dies for a lack of discipline, and because of his great folly is led astray. So there are two more paternal appeals that we've looked at in the book of Proverbs. Number one, my son, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the springs of life, or the issues of life. And so guard your heart. It's not wrong to talk to our kids about their outward physical things, but we need to talk with them about their heart. What is in their heart? That is what's controlling their thoughts and their language and their dress and other activities. And then number two, stay away from sexual sin. Any sexual relationship out of a God-ordained marriage, keep it within a God-ordained marriage. Be fulfilled and gratified there, and you won't be looking for it elsewhere. The Lord sees when you go out and commit sexual sin. He calls it iniquity, it's wickedness, and it will lead you astray. What great advice, the heart and sexual sin. We just learn more and more every week the good things that we need to be talking with our kids about. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the program, and I hope that this wisdom was helpful to you, and let's put it into practice in our life as we go out and try to help others with it. Thank you for being with us on the program.